Pass the Mic is made possible by a grant from the T. Rowe Price Foundation, recognizing 45 years of advancing thriving communities and building financial well-being. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not reflect the views of the T. Rowe Price Foundation, T. Rowe Price, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates.
Pass the mic.
Hand that to me.
Pass it over here.
Pass the mic.
Pass the Mic gives you the space to share your stories, issues, and concerns your way. Today we pass the mic to Savannah Wood. She manages the extensive archives of Afro News, the nation's longest-running black-owned newspaper. Founded in Maryland in 1892, it's been a leading voice in the black press for more than 130 years.
Pass the mic.
My grandmother would have all 16 of her grandchildren come stay with her, but she would have all of us out on the corner selling the Afro. They would always push me out front as the second youngest. They were like, they won't say no to you. You're young, you're cute, you can sell it. So that was my engagement with the Afro, as being a tiny child selling it on the corner. My name is Savannah Wood. I am executive director of Afro Charities. I'm an artist, and on and on. The Afro-American Newspaper Company is Maryland's oldest black-owned business. My family has owned and operated it since 1897. And Afro Charities is a partner organization that cares for the Afro News archives, which document the full 133-year history. I didn't really get it until probably like my late 20s, early 30s even, when I saw the depth of the archives and the collection and how much history was documented there. I really felt the weight of that history in a different way. One of the things that was also a really interesting surprise in the collection was I found what's called a Soundscriber disc. It's like a audio disc that just said Thurgood Marshall on it. And what it was Thurgood Marshall talking with my great-grandfather, Carl Murphy, about the Brown versus Board of Education case. And they're talking about how the Afro would be the main paper that was going to get the story, because they had this incredibly long-standing relationship where Carl Murphy was even partially responsible for making sure that Thurgood Marshall got into law school. And so there's things like that really underscore the importance of the Afro throughout generations, really, but in that moment in particular, as a real trusted news source for the community and an advocate for civil rights. You know, it is a real force in American politics as a whole. There's so many people who have come through those ranks. Kwesi Mfume was a paper boy for the Afro. Elijah Cummings was a paper boy for the Afro. But I would argue, you know, the black press and all newspapers have struggled in recent times with digitization of different sites. Everybody's expecting to get their news for free for so many different sources. And there's a real obligation in my mind for us to invest in the media that matters to us and that reflects who we are. And I think the Afro still does that today. So I knew that it was important, but it didn't sink into like my core, my bones, my essence until I was preparing to have some hand in stewarding this legacy. And I came to it through artwork, actually. So I'm an artist and worked in arts organizations, both in Chicago and Los Angeles. And at those organizations was introduced to the ways that archives could be used creatively. When I first moved back here in 2019 from Los Angeles, I was really just trying to explore what was in the collection, wrap my head around it. We estimate there's about 3 million photographs in the collection. It's huge. There's thousands of letters. There's like thousands of boxes full of documents. The collections are on these long rows of shelving in standard records boxes primarily. Once you open it up, you're looking at hundreds of files. My team is processing the letter P right now. Police brutality. These are entire boxes just dedicated to those subjects. It's mostly photos and notes, and maybe there's some correspondence. There might be pamphlets that were issued by the police department, and then it's not for 1 year, it's for 133 years, potentially. My creative work has primarily been lens-based, so photography for the most part. In a way, coming into the Afro archives, where there are 3 million photographs, having that photographic history and knowledge has been helpful for understanding the collection and the labor that it took to even create it. In 2020, I participated in our first ever artist commissioning project, and it was me and two other artists working in the archives and then making new work inspired by what they found. The video that I made in that project called Hard to Get and Dear Paid For, and it's basically about a piece of land in Montgomery County that my family had been enslaved on, and ultimately they ended up owning it. How that came about is not totally clear, like where the money came from to purchase it, but they purchased it. And my great-great-grandmother, Martha Murphy, her father died and he left the estate equally to his five children, including the girls. And so she took her portion of her inheritance and sold it to her brother and used that money to found the Afro, essentially. So she gave the money to her husband. Her husband's credited as, like, quote unquote, the founder. So it was her investment and this connection to the land that they had been enslaved on that allowed my family to then own this newspaper company that five generations later is still in existence. People think digitally most of the time when they think about the archives, but it's very physical and it has a huge physical weight and presence. We are doing some digitization of the archive, but it's not wholesale for a few reasons. One of them is just that it's so massive. But the physical experience is also really important because of the encounter in my mind of like the tactility, seeing these objects, holding them, having a bodily relationship to them. But they also, in some ways, last longer. There's images from 1902 that I can hold in my hand. At the same time, we understand that some of the discoverability of the collection comes through digitization. And so it's also important to us that we are doing this in a way where the knowledge stays within the organization. We want to know what those images are. We want to recognize the history behind it. We want community members to be engaged in that process, ideally, so that they can say, oh, wait, actually, my cousin lived on that street. You know, there's just so much that is contextual about the collection that it's important for us that the work on the collection is done by people who have some relation to it.
Pass the Mic is produced by Elizabeth Nonemaker, senior producer Mallory Pinkert-Pierre, and executive producer Amy Walters. This is a presentation of Baltimore Public Media.